It's on now. There we go. Now, good morning. All right, good to see you guys out this morning. We're continuing our look at the Psalms and praying like the psalmist. And so glad that you could be here. Well, let's just go ahead and kick things off with our opening prayer. Dave Towns going to do that for us.
Holy Father, we're so thankful for this morning that we can be together as your children together and to study more about prayer, to study how we can better communicate our feelings to you and to praise you and give you the honor that you so richly deserve. We pray that you'll be with us in this study this morning. Help us to concentrate on things so that we may gain the most from the time together. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Really glad you guys could be here today. I meant to do this last week. Because of what we're doing on Wednesday nights with the prayer meetings, of course, we're doing some of the group stuff, but we are having some prayers that are led for the whole class together. And I still don't know who is comfortable leading those prayers. And this past Wednesday night, it was tough getting that together because I waited till I got here. And some of you waited till it was time to start to get here. And so that made it hard for me to find people who are actually going to lead the class in prayer. So I'm going to send a little piece of paper or little notepad around. And so, fellas, any of you who are willing to lead the entire class, I'm not talking about the little group sessions. We're doing the same thing with that every time that we did Wednesday night. But lead the entire class in prayer. You know, get up here in front of everybody or have the microphone. Put your name down here so that can help me plan those sessions just a little bit. And I'm just going to start on this side. And if y'all will pass it to the back. I do have a pen here. If y'all will pass it to the back and then pass it around, and everybody who's willing to do that, if you just write your name down. Don't feel ashamed if you're not willing. Don't just pass it along. That's fine. But if you are willing to help out with that, please let me know by writing your name down there. Thank you. All right, so last week and this week, basically what we're looking at is why study the Psalms? If we're going to spend an entire trimester looking at the Psalms, and especially when it comes to talking about prayer, why would we do that? We have sometimes kind of this love-hate relationship with the Psalms in that it provides a whole lot of help and a whole lot of comfort, but sometimes it freaks us out a little bit, especially when we think about trying to pray like those psalmists prayed, because they use language that we rarely use, and they say things that are deep and meaningful and profound, and we feel like we can't possibly ever measure up to that level, and so it kind of scares us a little bit. So we've just been starting off with why. Why would we study the Psalms? And last Sunday, we recognized, first of all, that, well, the main reason we would study the Psalms is because the Psalms are what? Psalms are Scripture. And, of course, Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And if that's true of all Scripture, then it's true of the Psalms. So what should we do with the Psalms? Study them. Read them. Learn from them. Recognize how they fit within the entire scheme of things. Understanding, of course, that Psalms are from the Old Covenant. And we'll talk a little bit in our next lesson about that sort of thing. But we need to study the Psalms because the Psalms are, in fact, Scripture. They're not just men writing down whatever's in their mind. It's God working through those men to inspire communication from us to Him. And it shows us a great model for that in many ways. The second reason we said that we would want to study the Psalms is because the Psalms are real. Now, by that, we did not intend to mean that the rest of Scripture is not real. But we're just talking about the fact that, well, far too often when we look at all of those folks in the Bible and we see some of the great things they did, we can put like a wall of separation between us and them, as if we could never potentially measure up to what it is that those people were doing, that their lives are completely and wholly different from ours. But when we read the Psalms, all of that is kind of taken away. When we read the Psalms, we recognize that here are real people going through real struggles, feeling real things just like us. And these are things that would be beneficial for us to study and learn, because it says to us, these things that I have felt, that's okay. Now, what am I going to do with these things that I have felt? And it talks about how we can take those things to God. So we've learned the two reasons we want to study the Psalms. Number one, the Psalms are Scripture. And number two, the Psalms are real. The third thing that we're going to get into in this lesson is the fact that the Psalms put words to our feelings. The Psalms put words to our feelings. I think this is important, namely because, and both of these last two things kind of come along with this. I think one of the struggles that happens in our day is almost this tacit idea that if you're a Christian, the only thing that you're allowed to feel is happiness. Why, God's just blessing my socks off. How you doing today? Oh, I just couldn't be better. And there's almost this idea that if there's some feeling that is different from that or less than that, then we must be doing it wrong and there must be something wrong with us. And so we don't necessarily want to admit when that's not the feeling that's going on. And that can be a problem for us. Like I said last week, sometimes when I'm preaching on this, I tend to go to the opposite extreme and act like Christians aren't ever happy. Like, oh yeah, our lives are just miserable, just like everybody else. No. I'm not suggesting that. There are plenty of times when happiness is exactly what we're feeling. There are plenty of times when we've had great days. There are times when we just feel God's blessing my socks off and I just absolutely could not be better. There are plenty of those days. But sometimes there are days that are not like that. And in this kind of happy, happy, joy, joy world in which we live, which says that Christians are just joyous all the time, we may not know exactly how to express some of these other feelings. And what I want us to recognize is that when we look at the Psalms, we find all of the feelings. We find all of these core emotions that the psalmist felt those and the psalmist expressed those. And so when we are feeling those things, this allows us to know what kind of words we can put with it. And that's the Psalms are going to help us with that. Those who have studied these things will point out to us that there are basically 8 core emotions. Just about everything else that you could see about emotion would come from one of these terms. So certainly we could think of a lot of other words here that would go along with this, but just about all of them come back to these words. Gladness, sadness, hurt, loneliness, anger, fear, guilt, and shame. What's gladness? What other kind of words would we have for that? Happy, joy. Those are the words that we would have with that. Sadness, that's pretty obvious. Hurt. Anybody ever felt hurt? We might have betrayal. Loneliness. Abandoned. That's the kind of feeling going on there. Anger. Anybody ever felt angry? Yeah, I mean, we felt that. Fear. Scared, trepidation, guilt. I will just point out guilt and shame as two separate ideas. Guilt is the idea I did something wrong. Shame is the idea I am something wrong. That's kind of that feeling. Guilt is I violated something over here. Shame is because I violated it, there's something wrong with me. And so guilt and shame, those are the two emotions that go along there. Now, when we look at these core emotions, and we could subdivide into all kinds of topics and all kinds, but when we look at these 8 core emotions, we actually find every single one of them in Scripture and in Psalms. So let's just walk through some Psalms, and I want you to shout out to me what you found in some of these Psalms. So we're going to look in Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11. Listen to what Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11 says. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What emotion, feeling do you see in that passage? Gladness, joy, happiness. Things are good for the psalmist here. Things are good for David as he writes this psalm. And this is one of the things that we need to recognize. There are these moments. There are times of gladness. There are plenty of times of gladness and happiness and joy. David here has it. There are plenty of things for us to be happy about. There are plenty of things for us to be glad about. Sometimes, though, even with our happiness and our gladness, we may not know how to bring that to God. We may not know what to say to God about those things. And yet here we find psalmists who have their gladness, who have their happiness, who have their joy, and they're bringing that to God. They're praising God. They're thanking God. They're recognizing God as the author of their joy and their happiness and their gladness. And here's how we're going to rejoice. We're going to bring that to God. What a wonderful opportunity that is. Well, let's look in Psalm 38, verses 5 through 10. Psalm 38, verses 5 through 10. Because while gladness is amazing and wonderful and we have it and we need to bring it to God, it's not the only emotion that we have. Psalm 38, verses 5 through 10. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. What do you hear in that?
Everything but gladness.
I go about in mourning. Sadness. Okay, so someone says hurt. We've got some hurt here. Okay, so there's some shame because he says because of my foolishness. We got despair that goes along with sadness. Kelly? In verse 11, we've got some loneliness and abandonment going on. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. So here we find the sadness. I just want us to stop for a moment and just recognize this is David, a psalm of David for the memorial offering, it says at the beginning of that. Here's David, the sweet singer of Israel, the one who offers so much joy and happiness and gladness in so many psalms. And here's a day where things are not so good. What did he do with those things? He took them to God. And when we have days like that and we're wondering, how can I bring this to God? Here we have an example. I've got sadness. I've got sorrow. I've got hurt. I've got abandonment. All of these things. What am I going to do with them? I can bring them to God. And that's exactly what David did here in this psalm. As we start to branch off into these other emotions, let me just point out something here. Ultimately, God's goal is to take us from sadness to joy, from sadness to gladness. That's the ultimate thing. And I have no doubt that in heaven, when we are around the throne of God, there will not be sadness. There will be simply gladness and joy. The guilt will have been washed away, and the shame will have been fixed. The hurt, the abandonment, the loneliness, all of that will have been gone. But here we are in this world where all of those things happen. And sadly, what we too often do is when we have those other emotions rather than gladness or sadness, we become tacitly convinced that means we're bad Christians. So we try to shut that off, turn it off, not display it, lest anyone know that we're having problems. And we end up missing the very important reason God gave these to us. God gave us emotions and God gave us feelings, and he did it for a very important reason. And let me explain what that is. We're talking right now about emotional feelings, but in order to understand why they've been given to us, let's think about physical, biological feelings. Whenever you touch a hot stove, what do you feel? Pain. You feel burning sensation. Do you know why God gave us that ability to feel like that? To say it louder. To protect us. Because if you've put your hand on a hot stove and you don't feel that you're on that hot stove, what are you going to do to your hand? You're going to burn it. You're going to destroy it. It's going to fall off. you know, that actually there are some diseases and syndromes that do that. Leprosy. And in the Bible, leprosy is kind of a generic term for all manner of skin disease. But today, whenever you hear about leprosy, it's talking about something that's very specific. It's a disease that says my nerve endings aren't working. That's what's causing it. It's not just rotting flesh. It's not just the idea that your flesh is rotting. It's the fact that because the nerve endings aren't working, you don't feel things. And so some of these guys who've studied it, Dr. Paul Brand, I think, was one fellow that I've read about. He did a lot of pioneering and study in this. And as he's in India and Africa working with folks who have leprosy, he's trying to figure out why he's cleaning up this disease and this infection, but then they come back the next week and a finger's missing. And, I mean, it's just some crazy stuff. And he talked about, he saw some guy that they were around the fire and somebody dropped their potato in the fire. And this guy reached down into the fire, grabbed the potato, and handed it to him. Now, he didn't feel a thing. We might say, oh, that's wonderful. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Except for guess where that guy was the next week? He was in the hospital because his hand was all burnt. It was infected and it was in danger of having to be amputated. And that's what feeling is for. Feeling warns us. He saw another fellow that was hoeing out some garden, and as he's looking at the guy, he's seeing blood dripping down his arm, and he's trying to figure out why. And he goes and he grabs the hoe and realizes there's a nail sticking out of it right into the guy's hand, and he didn't even know it. Here, I'll give you guys the grossest part. He was trying to figure out why they were losing toes. You want to know why? Because rats were coming out at night and eating them off, and they didn't even know because they couldn't feel it. So does God give us feeling for a reason? When it comes physically and biologically, that's absolutely it. The feelings are warning signs. Something is not happening as it should be, and because I can feel it, I can figure it out, and I can respond to it appropriately. And so, when I have some emotion... All right, that's not working, guys. What's my emotion right now? I'm feeling frustrated. And can y'all go ahead and move that forward? There we go. When I have some emotion, it's letting me know that something is not working right. Now, how am I supposed to deal with that? Okay, so when I have sadness and when I have anger and when I have hurt, these are markers that let me know that either something inside me or something around me is not as it should be. Maybe you should stand up here and just work it. And so now I got to figure, okay, what do I need to do to respond to this? I mean, we understand that with its physically and biologically. If I feel the burning sensation on my hand, I know what to do, right? What do? Move your hand. Okay, now I also know I probably need to go get some antibiotic ointment or wrap it up and bandage it and treat it. When I feel sadness, that means something is going on. What do I need to do with that? Well, what the Psalms show is, one thing, I need to take it to God. And so that's what these emotions are for. So certainly many of them say, okay, something's going on that needs to be dealt with, but just having them is not wrong. What do we see in the Psalms? We've seen gladness. We've seen sadness. I especially see sadness in Psalm 38, but there's other things there. We talked about the hurt and the loneliness. All right. My next feeling is either going to be gladness or real anger. Here it is. You ready? There it is. Gladness. Gladness. Psalm 35, verses 11 through 14. Psalm 35, verses 11 through 14. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother. As one who laments his mother, I bowed down in mourning. So go ahead and shout out for me. What are the emotions, feelings you hear there? Okay, one at a time. So, hurt. Okay. Somebody else? Did somebody say something else? Loneliness. Anger. See how sometimes a lot of these emotions end up going together. Once you have one, you can understand how hurt would lead to anger, and hurt produces loneliness. The main one that I see here is that idea of hurt. Here is somebody who's felt betrayed. Here is somebody that put themselves out for a friend or a relative, and then when tides were turned and the roles were reversed, how did that other person treat them? They abandoned them, they abused them, they misused them. Do you think that's an appropriate place to feel hurt? Absolutely. Sometimes we get hurt. Look, if you stub your toe on the door, how's your foot going to feel? It's going to feel hurt, and there's nothing wrong with feeling that. If someone betrays you, how are you going to feel? You're going to feel hurt. There's nothing wrong with feeling that. And there's nothing wrong when your brethren say to you, hey, how you doing today? You know, I'm feeling a little bit hurt today. Nothing wrong with that. Now, if you don't want to invite them into your personal space emotionally, I understand that. That's fine. Maybe we need to do that a little bit more, though. But there's nothing wrong with being able to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Of course, there's joy and happiness above and under everything that goes on in my life because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what? Somebody got me fired from my job on Friday. And so today, I'm feeling just a little bit hurt. Maybe not a little bit. I'm feeling a lot hurt. And that's okay. But what did the psalmist do with it when he felt his hurt? He wrote it down. He took it to God. He wrote it down. He talked about it. He talked about it with God. Perhaps he talked about it with others. I think sometimes those are the things we need to recognize. These psalmists didn't stuff these feelings. They brought them to God. They brought them out so that they could be dealt with. By the way, let me just take a quick recess. We sent around a little notepad. We sent around a little notepad. If you're here on Wednesday nights and you're willing to lead the class in prayer, I need you to write your name down on there. That's going to help me plan those better. I know some of you came in after we started sending around. So if you would like to lead a class prayer on Wednesday nights, just raise your hand up there and Tim will get that to you while we're continuing on. I just want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to do that. All right, let's look in Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is just an interesting psalm. We could spend all kinds of time there, and we will come back in other lessons. We're just going to pick out two verses from this. Psalm 88, verse 14. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? And verse 18. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. What feeling do you hear there? Hurt and loneliness and abandonment. And not, by the way, this is not just loneliness because, oh, my friends aren't here. What other aspect of this loneliness is he expressing? That God's caused it. But he's also feeling separated from God, isn't he? He's feeling abandoned by God. Verse 14, O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? I'm just going to let that register in your mind for just a moment. Because if you're like me, you'd be a little freaked out to turn to God in prayer and say, where on earth are you? I need you and you're not here. Why have you cast my soul away? But that is exactly what this psalmist Heman, the Ezrahite, is saying. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but just internally you can answer this question. Have you ever felt a little isolated from God? And of course, what we thought was, oh, I'm not allowed to feel this way. I can never admit to anybody, especially not God, that I feel this way. And yet, what did the psalmist do with it when he felt this way? He took it to God. Isn't that amazing? You know, If I'm feeling abandoned by my wife, if I'm feeling isolated and lonely in my marriage relationship, sometimes I'm really scared to take that to her. You know why? Because I don't know how she's going to respond. In fact, what I'm pretty certain she's going to respond, if I come to her and say, Marita, look, I'm feeling really abandoned. You feel abandoned? You want to talk about abandonment, Edwin? Let's talk about abandonment. You know, that's kind of what I think that's probably what's going to happen. So I'm kind of scared to bring that to her. But you know what? Here, this Heman is feeling abandoned by God, and what does he do with it? He goes and says, God, I need you to know how I'm feeling. I'm feeling abandoned. I don't understand it. Why is this happening? But what we have is, when we have these feelings, we can bring it to God, and it puts words to our feelings. Psalm 137. Psalm 137, verses 7 through 9. Psalm 137, verses 7 through 9. Remember O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. Anybody, can you pick up on the feeling here? Go ahead, brother.
Sorry, I had a comment about the previous one.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, sorry.
But his asking God, where is he, I think also shows his recognition that God is involved in his life very directly. And so in that way, it's very appropriate. I think sometimes we're a little uncertain to go that far, perhaps. And so we don't necessarily see things in our life as a result of God's will in the same way.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, and we will come back to Psalm 88 in a later psalm, in a later lesson. We're going to talk about having honesty and candor in our praying. And Psalm 88, if there's a psalm that has honesty and candor, Psalm 88 is it. It's just flat amazing. But one of the things that we're going to learn from that is that when we hear these things, or at least when I do, maybe I shouldn't paint with too broad of a brush. When I hear it, my first thought is, oh my goodness, where's his faith? Why doesn't he have faith? But remember, he's praying. What does that say he has? That says he has faith. And so it's actually his faith that causes him to go to God and say, here's what I'm feeling, here's what's going on, and take it to him. And it's because he really does believe God is involved and should be involved. It's because he really believes the promises of God. And so that's certainly a great point to make there. And we will come back to that in a later lesson. All right, back to Psalm 137, though, as he talks about the Edomites and Babylon and dashing their little ones against the rock. Anybody pick up on an emotion there? Anger. I mean, this is angry. This is angry. You know why he's this angry? Because this is what Babylon and Edom did to their little kids. All right, I know when we hear it, we think, I cannot believe this prayer is even in the Bible. How anybody could say this. Here's the point I want you to recognize. He is absolutely and utterly angry at the Babylonians and the Edomites. Where does he take his anger? To God. He took it to God. All right, he didn't go over to Babylon and start dashing their little kids against the rocks. He didn't go into Edom and grab somebody's baby and kill it. He's expressing how angry he is. He's angry. And we can't understand this because we haven't had anybody waltz into the Lutz area, into the Tampa area, burn our houses, rape our wives, and kill our children. But can you imagine if somebody did that, how we might feel, God, do this back to them? That's how angry he is. But what does he do with his anger? He takes it to God. And that's the thing. So when we get angry, anybody ever felt angry? What can we do with our anger? We can take it to God. And this provides some words for our anger. Psalm 55, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 55. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. Can anybody guess which emotion I wanted you to see here? Fear. Fear and trembling. And where does he take it? He takes it to God. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 5. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5 says, blessed is the one, verse 3. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What emotion do we have there? Guilt. I did it. I committed the wrong. Anybody ever felt guilty? I hope so, because if we don't ever feel guilty, guess where we're not ever going to turn? Guilt is a powerful emotion. It's not necessarily the best motivator for those who are already Christians trying to force them to do what they're supposed to do, but it is a powerful motivator that tells us something is wrong in my life and something has to be done. I need a Savior. But here's guilt. Going along with that, in Psalm 51, verses 3 through 5, we see a psalm that most believe comes from the same time period in response to the same sin. Notice how he words it a little bit differently here. For I know my transgressions, And my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. What emotion do we see here? Shame. Remember, guilt is I've done something wrong. Shame is I am something wrong. Do you hear that kind of I am something wrong? I was born this way. I was conceived in sin. It's just awful. I can't do anything but sin. Now we're going to talk, we need to recognize that Psalm 51 is not David's doctoral dissertation about the nature of sin. Psalm 51 is what a person who is in the midst of guilt and shame says about his sin. That's what this is. We need to recognize that. But I want you to see it's the shame. And we have felt that way. I mean, in Rome, this is a poetic way of what Paul says. Wretched man that I am, he'll deliver me from this body of death. That's what David is representing here. But it's the shame. What did he do with it? He took it to God. Now, here's the thing that I'm wanting us to recognize. The whole purpose behind this exercise was for us to see. Anybody ever felt any of these things? Okay. We've all felt these things. We may not have known what to do with them. We may not have known what to say about them. We may not have known what to tell God about them. When you study the Psalms, it's going to provide words for you to take to God and say, here's what's going on in my life. And we can find people. And these are God-inspired. We started with the anchor of Scripture because I'm wanting you to recognize these are God-inspired ways of taking these emotions to God to pray to Him about Him and ask Him to do something about it. And what a powerful thing that is for us. Why do we need to study the Psalms? Because the Psalms put words to our feelings. But there's another reason. Something that takes this, in my mind, a step further. And that is because the Psalms put feelings to our experiences. They put words to our feelings, but they also put feelings to our experiences. If you haven't been able to read the lesson there on page 8, I've got a quote. Anybody remember Simon and Garfunkel? All right, very good. They wrote a song called I Am a Rock. And if you didn't get to read the lesson, I'm going to read this to you real quick. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. Does anybody else have a hard time when you're reading the lyrics of a song just to read them, not try to sing them? Okay, I'm not going to sing this for you, but it's hard not to try to sing it. Okay, I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. Don't talk of love. I've heard the words before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. Here's the problem. When we start tacitly believing that we're only allowed one emotion, and that's happiness and gladness, whenever we feel the other emotions, what do we start trying to do to them? We start trying to shut them off. We start trying to stuff them. We start trying to negate them. We start trying to deny them. And we go through many means to do that. Sometimes we try to do that just emotionally, just internally. But sometimes what we have to do is go through some kind of escape. Some kind of escape mechanism. Drinking, drugs, eating, sex, pornography, buying things. All of these things are methods of trying to escape the feelings that we don't like. Here's the problem. He was shutting down the pain and the hurt. But what else did he have to shut down in order for that to happen? Everything else. Love. Happiness. Gladness. All of the wonderful things also had to be shut down at the same time. Okay, so I don't cry, but I also don't laugh. And I don't feel hurt and betrayed and abandoned, but I also never get to feel love anymore. And the problem is that as we shut those things down, we're not even sure what to do with them. It's really an interesting thing. If you ever get the opportunity, you ought to talk to a recovering addict sometime about their experience as they're coming out of their addiction. Because one of the things they'll start to tell you is that they, I haven't heard the birds singing for years. Why? Because they've been shutting everything down. They'll talk about colors being more vibrant as they see the green on the trees growing and the fall colors. I've not noticed that. Why? Because I've been trying to escape all of those things for so long, and I have to cut those things down. And one of the scary things is that once they start removing their escape mechanism, these feelings come rushing back in, and sometimes they're overwhelming and overpowering because they haven't felt in so long. Now, I don't know where you are in all of that, but that is what happens when we go through escape mechanism. We've been shutting down the feelings. Well, what do the Psalms do? I'll tell you what the Psalms do. The Psalms open us up to all the feelings that are there. And one of the reasons the Psalms shock the pants off of us is because we so often have been trying to shut those things down. And when we see someone being absolutely and utterly and completely honest with their feelings about their family, about their friends, and especially their feelings about God, it shocks us because too often we've been trying to turn that off. Here are people that have sat in their feelings, which sometimes is not a very pleasant thing to do. It's hard. But here are people who have sat in them, ruminated on them, and brought them to God and said, what do we do about this? And it puts feelings to our experiences. Because sometimes we don't know what we're supposed to feel in the experiences that we're going through because we've spent so much time shutting them down. That may not be you, but I guarantee you it's somebody in here. There are people who have spent so much time shutting down their feelings, they don't even know what to feel when things happen. And so this puts feelings to our experiences. The singer proclaims, I have my books and my poetry to protect me. Now, the Psalms are not that kind of poetry. The Psalms are not going to protect you from the feelings you're trying to escape from. What the Psalms are going to do is bring you face to face with the real emotions that go on in real life when we open ourselves up to what's really going on. Because there really are things that hurt. And there really are things that make us sad. And there really are things that make us angry. And there really are things that make us guilty and filled with shame. And God gave us those emotions for a reason, because they're supposed to let us know something is going on that needs to be dealt with. And if we shut that off, we're going to miss out on that. So let's look at some. Psalm 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41 and verse 9. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. What's he feeling there? Betrayed. He's feeling betrayal. He's feeling abandonment. He's feeling lonely. Let me ask you. You ever been through that? Anybody ever had a friend, a family member, a coworker that abandoned you? Here's what's interesting, by the way. This passage is referred to by Jesus in reference to Judas. Jesus felt this feeling. If Jesus is able to feel this feeling, is it okay for us to feel this sometimes? You know, you don't have to cover up when someone has abandoned you or hurt you or betrayed you. Let me ask you, when someone has done that, anybody want to share with us, how have you felt? Sorry, guys, we're finally getting down to maybe using a microphone here. Anybody want to help? How have you felt when you felt abandoned and betrayed by someone? Bad. Disappointment. What? Guilt. Oh, what have I done? Guilt for what have I done? Are you going to say the same thing? All right. What have I done to deserve this? Why is this going on? So now it's confusion. Confusion, a little bit. That's a form of fear. I'm confused. I don't understand. Vengeance. Vengeance. I'll show them. And so here, when we read these Psalms and we see these kind of things that are said, we recognize, you know what? Somebody really did betray me. That was wrong of them. They shouldn't have done that. I'm allowed to feel hurt by that. I'm allowed to have some anger because of that. Now, what am I going to do with it? Does that mean I just get to sit there and be angry and plot my revenge and then act out my revenge? No, that's not what the psalmist did. The thing I'm just trying to drive home is that when we're in the Psalms, we recognize that feelings are a natural part of life. They are a God-programmed response to the junk that goes on in our world and in our lives. You know, when I have been abandoned by friends, angry, hurt, bitter, I can't understand it. I got to tell you, I get a little obsessive because what I want to do is force them to talk to me. I mean, I've got some friends right now, it breaks my heart. They're going off into error. And I try to talk to them, and they refuse to talk to me. It's just anger. It just makes me so mad. I just don't understand how, after all that we've went through together, when they've decided to make this change, they won't even talk to me, and let's discuss it. Anybody ever felt that? And you know what? It's okay to feel that. It's okay to feel that. What are we going to do with it? We're going to do what the psalmist did. We're going to bring it to God. We're going to open up. We're going to share with people. We're going to say, this is what's going on. Because that's what the psalmist did. Go ahead, John. He's bringing you the mic.
It seems like David gets great comfort in bringing his heart to God in prayer and not doubting once that God would not take care of him.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that is the great comfort. One of the lessons we're going to get to, the next lessons we're going to look at is about the fact that we don't have to pray exactly like the psalmist and give us a little bit of relief from the fears that we have about that. But one of the great things when we start looking at how the psalmist prayed, one of the points, I'll just kind of let the cat out of the bag, is that the psalmist, like David, viewed God as the source of all things. That God actually can do something about this. I'm angry because my friend has abandoned me, and God can do something about that. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to take it to God. And I get great comfort when I learn that the God in heaven loves me and cares about me and will do something about this. Go ahead, Mike.
When I first became a Christian, and I left error, I lost a lot of friends over that. That was opposite of you.
Yeah.
But then God does work through that. And later on, when they see a good example, they might ask about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. God does work. And God is working in our lives. And God listens. And of course, sadly, on some of these emotions, there are terrible, awful things that are going on in the world around us in our lives that just don't get resolved in this life. And that feeling kind of stays in there. And what do we have to do? Just keep bringing it to God. Keep bringing it to God. All right, so what about Psalm 27... and verse 10. Psalm 27 and verse 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. So in the first half of that, what kind of emotion is going on here? What's the feeling? What experience? Abandonment of parents. Abandonment by parents. Have you ever been through that? Okay, I'm not necessarily asking for a show of hands. I'm just, have you ever been through that? You know, some have. Some have. I'm fortunate enough on this one. This is not something I have been through. But you know what? There are some folks who have. There are some folks who have been brought up and their parents abandoned them from birth. And they get into those teen years and they find that out and they start getting confused and they're not sure exactly what to do with that. And it causes some emotions and it causes some problems. And sometimes what society suggests is, well, you're not allowed to feel those things. Why not? Certainly we're going to feel love for the parents who did raise us, but hey, we're allowed to have some feelings about the parents that abandoned us. And I'm not trying to have a commentary on dealing with adoption. I'm just saying that, look, when kids have had parents abandon them, there's going to be some emotions there. And it's not wrong to have those emotions. Okay? If you've ever been through that sort of thing, how did you feel? But what did the psalmist do with these feelings? Brought them to God. And that's the thing. And so, again, so often we spend so much time shutting down our feelings, we don't even know how to feel when things happen in our lives. Psalm 51. Look in Psalm 51. We're not going to read the whole psalm. Many of us already know this psalm. This was a psalm that David wrote, according to the header, after Nathan had come to him with the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. We've already talked about, so that's the experience. That's the experience. So he's got the guilt and the shame of sin. Regret. Okay. So, have you ever been through that? Not necessarily this sin, but just the guilt and shame of sin? Yeah. I mean, of course we have. By the way, look, this is one place where I am going to ask for a show of hands. Everybody who's ever felt the guilt and shame of sin, please raise your hand. I just want you to look around for a moment, guys. Look around. Everybody look around. All right, just making sure we're all in that same boat, okay? The problem is that in the world, we may not know how we're supposed to feel about that. I think it was Phil Andrews was saying something the other day. I can't remember what came up in class, but afterwards he was making the point to me. He said, you know, that matters really only for the people who have been trained. You know, those who are outside, who haven't been trained by the Word of God, these things don't matter to them. And that's exactly right. Why? Because we've shut down all those emotions. We've become calloused. Paul talks about folks who have become calloused because of going into sin. And what started off as a thing that really, 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 really bothered them, by the time we've done it for the thousandth time, it doesn't bother us quite as much anymore. Why? Because we've shut down the feeling. We don't even know what feeling we should have when we've committed this sin. But when we look at Psalm 51, what we see is, here's what we should feel when it comes to having committed sin. We should feel this guilt and this shame. And that's exactly what David was feeling. And I'll tell you why. The reason why we should feel that, I know in today's world they're trying to tell us, oh, guilt and shame, we shouldn't have any of that. And I know there's some unhealthy guilt and shame. But the reason why we need the healthy guilt and shame is because if we don't have the healthy guilt and shame, if we don't know how to feel when we've sinned, we won't know how to feel when we find out about a Savior. Because the Savior is only an exciting thing when I realize how really bad off I am without Him. And so I won't know how to feel about having a Savior if I don't know how to feel about having sin. Psalm 88. We've already hit on Psalm 88 a little bit. In Psalm 88, it's an amazing thing. Yeah, he's feeling everything. And the amazing thing about Psalm 88 is he's feeling all of this. And as Kelly pointed out to us earlier when we referenced it, is that he says, God, you've done this to me. The very last verse, verse 18, you have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Back up in verse 8, you have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. He's angry at God. He's angry at God. That's what he's experiencing. I'm not going to make you do a show of hands on this one, but just ask yourself internally, have you ever been through that? I will tell you, I have. I have had times where I have been angry at God. Why on earth have you let this happen? Yeah, you know, I've been trying. Look, I know I messed up. I know I've sinned. I know I can get into that. Well, I've sinned, and so I deserve every lousy thing that ever happens to me in my life. But there's also the fact that, yeah, but I've become a child of God. Don't I deserve something for that? That's kind of the thing that goes on in my mind. And I think, hey, we're in a covenant relationship. God, you've promised that if I seek first your kingdom, you're going to provide all these things. Why is this thing happening? That's happened. I've been there. And I tell you how I felt. I felt like nowhere to turn. I've felt that. And that's the psalmist right here. That's what he's saying. Look, I've been turning to you. I've been turning to you and nothing's happening. What? Those feelings happen. The thing that we want to avoid is this idea that feelings themselves are wrong. Certainly, they show that something wrong is going on that needs to be dealt with. But the feelings are just a marker. And what the Psalms help us do is put words to our feelings, and they help us put feelings to our experiences so we can bring them to God. Wednesday night, we're going to continue in prayer. And then next Sunday, we'll be working on lesson number 3. Thank you very much.